This is the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. We welcome you to listen to our service today. We hope you enjoy the broadcast. Vacation Bible School 2017 over the moat at First Baptist Church in Brayton will be daily July 24th through the 28th from 9:30 to 3 p.m. You need to bring a sack lunch and a drink with you. This is for ages 4 through the 12th grade, and the cost of this is free. If you have any questions, please call 712-549-2303.
We who treasure freedom song must fight for liberty. No sacrifice can be too great to keep our nation free. I love America. Oh, I love this land. I love America. With justice may she stand, grounded on the word of God, a nation of the free. I love America, the land of our liberty. Liberty demands a price of all who would be free. America, America, we pledge our love to thee. I love America, oh, I love this land. I love America, with justice may she stand, grounded on the word of God, a nation of the free. I love America, the land of our liberty.
Take our Bibles, please, and go to the book of Matthew. Most of the time I come to preach with a specific goal in mind, and most often, to be honest with you, it is to be a blessing. And whenever I stand up and open the Word of God, I always trust the Lord to bring that blessing. It is not through me, it is not to you, but it is for you, and it's for me. And the blessing comes as the Holy Spirit of God takes His holy word and applies it to our hearts, and that should be a blessing. I hope that when you hear the word of God preached, your heart rises to that. Your soul rises to that. I've learned, I've learned that there's always something for me if I'll open my heart to it from the Word of God. I can be riding down the road and maybe flipping through the radio and all of a sudden stop and there'll be a verse there, maybe just a snatch of a verse. And I'm thinking, Lord, there are no accidents with you. You wanted me to hear that verse. What is in that verse for me today? And meditate just on that thought just for a few minutes, because God speaks to us through His Word. Now, I do want to be a blessing to you this morning. I do hope that you'll find blessing from the Word of God. But I also want to be a challenge to you this morning. I want to be challenging because you are standing on the shoulders of people that have met on this property for 123 years. They've held high the Word of God. Souls have been saved on this property. The Word of God has been preached literally thousands of times within the confines of this property. And it is up to you to remain true to that calling, true to that. So many ministries start off steadfastly on the Bible, steadfastly on the truth of the Scripture, on the truth of God. And yet over time they're tempted away from those thoughts. They're tempted away from being faithful to the Word of God. And so my challenge this morning to you is to uphold the Word of God and to stay true to the calling that God had in Christ Jesus for this church through your forebearers. Before most of us were even thought of, God had a testimony here. And after we're long gone and no longer thought of, if the Lord should tarry, that those truths should still be preached. So let's dedicate ourselves to that this morning. Before I preach, though, I'd like to say thank you for your prayers for my pastor down in Greenville in South Carolina. He was very ill. I shared it with the Sunday school class. He was very ill, is still very ill. Still in the hospital. They tried some new treatments just this weekend, and they seem to be being effective. And so we'll be guardedly optimistic at that point. Got some good news this morning with his numbers and the way he's responding. So please remember to be praying for Brother Brian Haar, our pastor there. I also want to say thank you as a church for the part that you had in sending Ken's sister, my daughter, to the mission field this summer. She left with a group of young people and went to Australia on the 29th of May. She's been down there since then and will be there until the 5th of August when she arrives back in America. They went to Australia and worked with some churches, and they've jumped over to New Zealand. And they're working in some churches in New Zealand for the rest of the month of July. So she needs your prayers for that. And I do appreciate so much your gifts to her to help her make that trip. That was a real blessing for her and a real blessing for me as well. So thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you being faithful today. I know your pastor's away. And I know that when I was pastoring, and I pastored two churches, well, more than that actually, I was a missionary in Japan for 4 years. And then we came home. And since then, I've pastored two other churches. And I worked with BBN Radio for several years, and I've been in Greenville there now for the last 10 years working with a Christian school and a Christian radio station in the town there. So I've been a Christian ministry all my life. And but as a pastor, I know that when you're not in your own pulpit, your body may be someplace else, but your heart is right here. Your heart is right behind this desk. And I know that you'll be praying for your pastor, because as he goes and receives refreshment this week and relaxation, he'll come back charged up, and you'll be the beneficiary of it, because he'll have insight and he'll have challenge for you that'll help you move on for the Lord Jesus. So be much aware of that. Be much in prayer for him. Support your pastor. Be faithful to the house of God, faithful to the Word of God. And thank you again for being here this morning. And let's take our Bibles now to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. A familiar passage, I'm sure. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Let's ask the Lord's blessing, shall we? Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge of it. And I thank you, Father, for this good church, for these dear people, for their pastor. Father, I pray thy special blessing upon them. Father, a long history from our point of view, Lord, but it's a blink of an eye from yours. We realize that. But thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for the testimony that's been had through this place. And Heavenly Father, I would ask that you would advance that testimony until the Lord Jesus comes, be it 30 minutes or another 123 years. Whatever it may we be found faithful. Bless us, we pray, as we consider now thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. I suppose if I had a text or a title to my passage, to my sermon this morning, it'd be this: putting first things first. Putting first things first. Have you ever heard that? Has anybody ever told you that when you're in school, perhaps? Listen, you've got to put first things first. If you get first things first, everything else will take care of itself. And that's essentially what the Lord Jesus is telling us here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Now, Matthew itself is an interesting gospel. Every one of the gospels has a particular point of view. It has a particular way that they represent the Lord Jesus. Now, Matthew is, in my mind, the gospel to the Jews. It's very interesting to me, if you read through the book of Matthew, how many Jewish references he has in the Bible. Now, he was a publican. That means he was Jewish, and he was a traitor. He was a Jew that had been working for the Roman government, and he was a tax collector. Not a well-liked person. I wonder sometimes at the people that the Lord chooses to serve him. But you know, God can take this man that was despised by people and use him, change his life, turn him around, and make him a tremendous blessing. Matthew followed the Lord Jesus and was there working with him as a Jew. And he had a burden for his own nation, for his own people. Because as you read through the gospel, he's writing so that these people, his people, would know who Jesus was. If there's a theme to Matthew, and I believe it is this, that Jesus is the Messiah. This man we call Jesus the Christ is in fact Messiah. The word Christ is not his second name, by the way, not his surname. His name was Jesus, and Christ is his label. That's his rank. That's his title. And Christ means Messiah. Messiah is the Hebrew translation of the word, and Christ is the Greek translation of the word. And so Jesus is Messiah. And Matthew wanted his people to know that. He wrote through here. There are many indications of that. One of the most primary is that so often, as you read through the book of Matthew, you'll read words that say that it might be fulfilled as spoken of by the prophets. And I think 56 times, he tells us over 50 times, he quotes Old Testament prophets in the book of Matthew, underlining that Jesus was Messiah. Jesus began his... Now, of course, the Gospels are a biography of the Lord Jesus' life. And each one of the writers, each one of the four writers, tells us something else about the life. And if you seek a harmony of the Gospels, you'll find that there aren't contradictions. Each one, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give us things in their Gospel. Maybe one leaves out, one adds two. And so when you put them together, you get a complete picture. That's one reason God gave us four indications, four narratives of the life of the Lord Jesus. Matthew tells us, lets Jesus, in his own words, tell us Jesus' own mission statement. His statement of purpose, and that starts, begins really at chapter 5. You know what Matthew chapter 5, how it starts off? It starts off with the blesseds. The blessed are they that. And on through, he tells us all the way through the next two chapters that this is what I have come to do. And if you'll notice, please, in chapter 5, verse 17, he says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Now that word fulfill means to bring to fruition, to fill them up, to bring to maturity the laws that Moses gave. Now the law that was given back on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, ceremonial law, the civil laws were all given to Moses, and Jesus said, "I'm not coming to destroy those. I'm not coming to destroy those at all, but I'm coming to add to them." Now, we know that the law was given to us as our schoolmaster to show us the way to God. But you know what? Apostle Paul tells us later on in the New Testament that the law cannot bring us to God. It can show us the way, but it can't bring us. And Jesus says, I've come to fulfill the law. That means I've come to tighten it down. Tighten it down. In one place it says, the law tells you don't commit adultery. And another place, and then, but I say unto you, says, the law tells you don't commit adultery, but I say unto you, if a man lusteth after a woman, he's committed adultery. The law tells you do not commit murder. But if you've hated in your heart, you've already committed murder. He says, I'm tightening those requirements down. We said, well, you think, well, Brother Dave, nobody could live up to that. And you're right, nobody could keep those laws. That's why we needed the Savior. He came to us in His good grace, offers us salvation. And that's his message. That's the message of the gospel. Now, when we receive the gospel, we become His followers. We enter into what I call, and the Scripture calls, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Our text tells us that, well, the thrust of the Sermon on the Mount was to explain that he was internalizing the law of God. He was maturing it, tightening those measurements. Our text in verse 33 tells us that what was the focus of our lives before Jesus now is changing. Now, before the Lord Jesus, before you received Christ Jesus as your Savior, the focus of your life was to live. That means you sought after a place to live. You sought after housing. You sought after food. You sought after raiment. You sought after those things that you need to survive and have a good life. And he says, and that is what everyone looks after. But I'm telling you that something else you should look for. The text explains that the focus of our lives should what the focus of our lives should be as believers. As believers, before Christ, we came with one set of goals in life, and that was to survive. But as we receive Christ as our Savior and serve Him, our goal changes. Our goal should change. That which is first in our life changes. Before a person gets saved, well, many times they talk about, well, I want to get a really good job. I want a good job so I can make plenty of money, and then I can take care of my family. And I can buy a nice house, and I can have plenty of food in the house. We can wear nice clothing, and we can have a nice car, and have nice vacations. And I take care of my family. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, so don't get me wrong, but let's move on. That's the goal of every person. That's what everybody seeks after. But he's telling you, now I give you a different goal. We should be, before Christ, we lived with one set of goals. After Christ, we live with a completely different set of goals. Now, verse, look at it again, please. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, if you have a first, there has to be a second. And if something's going to be first, something's going to be second. And you have to decide which is going to be first and which is going to come after. Now look, please, at the context. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And how and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as one of those. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, I'll be very honest with you. Most of the time you hear messages on this passage, it lands on the last half of that verse 33. And all these things will be added unto you. Why? Because we strive very hard to have food and to have clothing and to have housing and to have the necessities of life that we must have in order to live. But Christ is saying, don't put that first in your life. Don't put that first. Now, mark it down. He's not saying that there's anything wrong with that. He's not saying that it's a wrong thing to seek after these things. But he says your priorities have to change. Put the first things first. And the point of his thought here is that if you put first things first, all these things that your Father, Heavenly Father, knows all about will be added unto you. And so this morning, I'd like for us to consider for a little while what it means to seek first the kingdom of God in our lives. Let's consider that word seek. The word seek there means to diligently strive for, to seek after, to look after, to seek diligently, to endeavor to obtain, to desire. To diligently strive after, to endeavor to obtain, and to desire. And they tell me, I can tell you this in English, I don't know about Greek, but it's a continuous action verb. That means it's an action that says, don't just seek this morning and this afternoon take a break. Continually be seeking, always be seeking after these things. Always be diligently striving after and seeking to endeavor to obtain the kingdom of God. Now, well, I know in college, we, as I said this morning, we have in our church a lot of college students. And they come to school and they diligently seek after their degree. They spend hours and hours studying every week and going to class and taking tests and doing things, seeking after their degree. They're an illustration of what I'm talking about. They diligently seek after that thing that they've set themselves after. And rightly they should. That's exactly what they should be doing in that life. When we were in Japan, I had a place where we were. There was a church there, and I had just come back to it. I'd just come to it. And had been in disuse for some years. And I wanted to see it built back up again. We cleaned it all up and wanted to start having services there. But I didn't speak Japanese at first. And so I couldn't start holding church services. So I went downtown to a building where a lot of foreign people came, a lot of Americans, a lot of English-speaking people. And there was an English-speaking publication there. And in it, I knew it circulated through all the Japanese-speaking people. I put a little ad. And I said, English Speaking Bible Club class. And I got quite a response. I got 7 or 8 people the first week who said, yes, I'd like to study English. And I said, well, I'd like to teach the Bible. And they said, okay. But I'd like to study English. And I said, okay. So we had that arrangement. They knew I was going to teach them what the Word of God said. And they knew and I understood that they had come to learn to speak English. We had an arrangement. And it was really quite an arrangement. It was fun. I had so much fun with it. I could tell you so many stories, but what a wonderful opportunity I had to preach the gospel. It was all in English. They didn't want to speak in Japanese. I had one lady. She'd be listening intently listening. And then she'd look over by me and say, what'd he say? And he'd tell her exactly what I said in Japanese. And at one time, I'd just given the gospel. And she said, what'd he say? And I listened to him. For about 2 minutes there, give her a rundown of exactly what the gospel of the Lord Jesus was in Japanese so she can understand. So it was a wonderful opportunity. But I remember two fellows particularly that were businessmen. One fellow was from Singapore, had business in Japan. One fellow was in Japan, worked for the Toyota company, which was very close to where we lived. They were singularly driven businessmen. They wanted to excel in their job. The reason they were there in my class wasn't to learn the Bible. They were there so they could sharpen their English skills because they knew if they could speak English better, they would be better employees for their employer. And so they diligently sought after that goal of learning English. And so they'd go to work all day, work all week, and then come to my class on Saturday nights and take notes and listen and try their best and learn the Bible and learn how to express themselves in English. They diligently sought after. They were seeking first the English language so they could be a better businessman. And that illustrated to me, I thought, Lord, how many of us, if I myself sought after the kingdom of God as diligently as these men sought after a very worldly and earthly thing, how much better off would the kingdom of God be? How much better would I be as a member of the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus was using the basic needs here to illustrate that food, clothing, and water, and shelter are things that the world seeks after. And again, I point out, there's not a thing wrong. He's not saying that it's wrong. But my thought was, I've got to put first things first. If I sought after the kingdom of God in the same way that I sought after buying groceries or paying the rent or taking that car payment or putting money in savings for retirement, all these other things that we must do, how further along would the kingdom of God be in my life? Now, he says, seek first of all. Make the primary aim and goal of our life was to seek the kingdom of God. Now, I think we need to stop a moment and kind of make a definition here. If you're a theologian and you're a preacher, you probably know there's a certain level of debate. Don't you just love debate? You get two preachers arguing with one another. I think there's 47 angels can sit on the head of a pin. I think there's a 48 can sit on there. No 47, no 40, and so they go back and forth. There's a discussion about, oftentimes in Scripture, the expression the kingdom of God is used, and sometimes in Scripture, the expression the kingdom of heaven is used. And there are those who want to make a distinction between those two ideas. If you read your Scofield notes, you'll see Mr. Scofield makes a distinction between kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. And if you think there's a distinction, that's fine. Because as I've studied it a little bit and thought about it, the distinction doesn't really affect me. It doesn't really affect the way I live my life. But the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is that which I seek after. And if I seek after it properly, it will very definitely affect my life and change how I live my life. But more importantly, it'll change my goals in life. It'll change my goals in life. What am I seeking after? Got to have those things, those necessities of life. But if I put first God and his kingdom, then I'm doing the right thing. Now let's think further about that. The kingdom of God. Listen to me. You don't need to turn. But in John chapter 3, verse 3, he says, the Lord Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you cannot be a citizen of the kingdom of God. So salvation is the kingdom of God. Salvation is God ruling in your life. So I would put it this way, the kingdom of God is God's reign and rule in your heart and life. He should fill your heart and your life if you truly follow him as Savior. So if you're going to be a part of the kingdom of God, you're going to have to be born again. To be born again, trusting him as your Lord and Savior, receiving his sacrificial death as your ability to get to heaven is important in this kingdom of God. Romans 14, 17 defines it a little more closely for us. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drinks, and that's what we've been talking about, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if you're going to be seeking first the kingdom of God, you're going to be seeking those three ideas in your life. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is what we're to seek after. You say, Brother Dave, that's terrific. That's interesting. That's true. I say amen to everything you're saying. And that's great. You know, every sermon has two parts. It has the ho-hum and the how-come. The ho-hum is all this preliminary stuff that you've got to get laid down first as you can get to the how-come. We've just gone through the ho-hum part, all that preliminary stuff. Now I want to give you about four or five how-come points, okay? So if you've not taken notes, maybe we'll jot these down on the back of the bulletin or something. But get these four things. Four things that help you to grow and to seek first the kingdom of God. And I'll be honest with you, there's not a profound thought here. Of the four things I'm going to give you, you've heard it all before. But they're important, so I'm going to say it again, okay? First thing, how do we seek after the kingdom of God? How do we develop that personal righteousness and joy and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost? How do we seek after the kingdom of God? How do we make first things first, in other words? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. First of all, by prayer. By prayer. By prayer. Now, if you were somebody to come up to you, an unbeliever came up to you on the street and said, or somebody you work with and says, why do you pray? I guarantee you, I know what he's thinking about. He's going to hear you say, well, you pray to get stuff. Right? We pray to get stuff. Well, I mean, we prayed this morning that some people would get well, and that God would provide certain needs, and that, and God tells us that he wants us to give him the burdens of our hearts. But what does praying do? Because sometimes, does God always give you every thought, everything you pray for? Sometimes he does, doesn't he? Sometimes he says, no. Because in his plan, and God is always wise, in his plan, it's not best to give you that, even though from our point of view, we'd say, yes, it is. But sometimes he says, wait. But the point is that as we pray, God brings us closer to himself. You know, when you bow your heart before the Lord, you're acknowledging that he is. And I think God is honored in that. You're acknowledging that God is, and that he is interested in your life, and that you know he's interested in your life, and that's why you can come to him. And you come to him as your child, so you're coming to him as the Heavenly Father. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we often pray. And God is blessed by that. He wants us to come to him and to acknowledge him. And you know what? When we come to him, we oftentimes pray, Lord, your will be done. We're saying, Lord, let me line up with what your will is. So see what you're doing? When you come to God in prayer, you're becoming more like him. You're seeking after him. And yes, we have all these things that we would like for him to do for us and give us and help us with, but that's not what prayer does. Prayer only secondarily provides those needs. Because our Heavenly Father, as our scripture this morning told us, already knows that we have need of these things. Didn't it? He already knows that. But when we pray, we acknowledge him. And we're saying, Lord, I'm going to line my thinking up with your thinking. I'm going to become more like you. Prayer puts us in a place where we become more like him. It's not a gimme, gimme, gimme. There's an old country song I used to hear. Lord, won't you buy me a new Mercedes Benz? My friends all have Porsches, and I must make amends. That's all I remember of it. So, but a lot of times that's our attitude, isn't it? Our Bibles are our black Bibles. We rub it and hope that the genie of the lamp comes out and grants us three wishes. If that's our prayer life, folks, that's awfully shallow. That's awfully shallow. Because God's going to show us a whole lot more. He's going to give us a whole lot more than that when we line ourselves up with him. So to grow and to put first things first, to seek first the kingdom of God, we're going to pray. We're going to be known as people of prayer. Secondly, we're going to ponder his word. We're going to ponder his word. The Bible is a rich, rich resource. I think you know that, or you wouldn't be here in church this morning. It has so much for us here. It will draw us closer to the Savior. I know that in my own heart and life. I've been a student of the Bible for more years than I care to recount. But I still, sometimes I'll be worried, I'll be upset, and I'll be anxious. And I think, why am I so disquieted? And the Holy Spirit will tap my shoulder and says, because you haven't spent time reading my word today. You haven't spent time opening the book today. And I think, you're right. And so I'll steal away, I'll open the Bible, I'll read a chapter or two. And, you know, it's interesting. The stuff I read, the passage I read, may not have anything at all to do with the problem I'm going through. But when I've spent time with the Lord and his word, I'll come back, and all of a sudden I realize I'm not nearly so unsettled as I was. I'm not as anxious as I was. Because great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You see, the word of God draws us closer to him, to the Savior. Prayer lines us, our hearts up with his, and the word of God draws us closer as he speaks to us. And so, if I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God in my life as a citizen of the kingdom of God, I'm going to have to ponder the scriptures. That means I'm going to read it. I'm going to memorize it. Oh, Brother Dave, you can't expect me to memorize a Bible verse. I'm going to challenge some of you. Years ago, I could do this, and everybody would go, yeah. How many of you know your own phone number? See, years ago, everybody would go, okay, sure. And the reason you do it is because you had to give it out so many times. You told everybody. You told your... Nowadays, we don't. We just say, here, text me. Or somebody puts it, I don't know my wife's phone number. If you ask me right now what my wife's phone number, I couldn't tell you, but it's 6. Poop, and it dials a number, you know, my smartphone. But the reason we learned in those days our telephone number, and the reason you know right now your address, I could tell you my address in Japan, I'm gonna, but I could tell it to you because I had to say it so many times. I memorized these things by going over it and over it and over it. Brother David, I can't memorize the Bible. I've tried to. All right, get you a 3x5 card. Get this verse. Write it down on it. And every time you come up to a stoplight, you've got 2 minutes. And seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Okay, you've done it. And you go over it and over it and over it and over it. Anybody in here, if you go over it 300 or 400 times, will figure out that's that verse. And then you take a look at it, you turn it over, and you say it without looking at it. And then you every week or so you come back and review it. Pondering. And you know what happens? Lots of things happen. But the Word of God finds entrance into your heart. And sometime sooner or later, you'll be going through a struggle, and God will bring His Word back to your mind. And it'll give you peace. So we pray to align ourselves up to with the Father. We ponder His Word to draw us closer to Him. The third thing, I wish more people were here, because this is one of those preaching to the choir points. We pray, we ponder His Word, and we be present in church. If you want to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you're going to be faithful into the house of God. You're going to be here at church. Now, how does that work? Because your pastor is going to teach you what the Word of God is. You're going to join your hearts in corporate prayer. You're going to find out about personal things that are amongst the congregation that you're going to take home with you on a piece of paper, and you're going to pray for them about. So by coming to church, you're reinforcing the first 2 points. Being faithful to the house of God will help you put first things first, and the first thing in your life is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. When you come to church, the fellowship will draw you closer to the Savior. Because you'll hear this brother who's just gone through a severe financial problem, and you see how God got him through with a smile on his face and confidence in his heart, and you'll say, wow, I could never do that. And sure enough, sooner or later, you're going to run through a similar problem. You think, well, the so-and-so, boy, I learned from him, and if he did it, I can do it too, Lord. We can do it. Let's go. I'm going to trust you for it. And God will show you that He can. Being faithful to the house of God. You're going to hear the Word of God taught to you. I had a great time this morning in Sunday school. I hope you did. I had a wonderful time studying about the prayer of Daniel in a time of emergency. studying the Word of God and getting instruction for our lives and exhortation in our lives. And you know what? There's temptations that you have. Now, you can write the sentence in, my temptation to sin is, draw the blank, and you fill in the blank. Nobody else needs to know about it. You and God know about it. But you all have one. I have one. We all have temptations that draw us from the Savior. And you know what's going to happen? I've seen this so many times. The preacher preaches with a shotgun, a scatter gun, and he scatters the shot to everybody. And you're going to be sitting there thinking, my goodness, he's got a .30-06 right between my eyes. He's pointing me right out. I've had people say, that preacher knew all about me. Somebody told him all about me. You know what happened? Yeah, somebody did. It's called the Holy Spirit. And gave him a message exactly what you needed. Whenever I hear them say that, I always tell them, well, did you listen? Because the Holy Spirit crafted that message just for you. You better listen. So exhortation. We come to the church to receive exhortation, to help us live godly in Christ Jesus, and to walk closely to Him, and to stay close to God, and to keep short accounts with the Lord. Seeking first the kingdom of God involves prayer. It involves pondering the Word of God, and it involves being faithful in church. You say, Brother David, I believe I can be a good Christian and still not come to church every Sunday. You want an argument? Let's go outside. I argue with that one over you. I'll argue that one with you. If you were going to walk with the Savior, you're going to be faithful in church. And I know everybody's got their reasons. I got to work. I was tired. I've got all these. But folks, let's put first things first. Are all the excuses that we have for not being in church really worth what it costs us? Well, it's not going to cost me anything. I'll have another church service next week, and I'll be there for that. Uh-oh. Well, some of you remember what I said in Sunday school? The message of the Word of God for today is for you for today. And the folks that didn't come to church this morning missed it. The thing that God wanted them to know, they missed. That's a chilling thought when you think about it. Yeah, then we'll have church next week, Lord willing. It'll be a message for next week. And hopefully you'll be here for that. Well, you're here today. But that person will be here for that. But if you miss, you've missed God's message for you. And I know there are times when we can't. But sometimes, folks, I think we take... it's really easy to keep us home. I better quit while I'm ahead here. It's what keeps us out of church sometimes, we haven't really put first things first. All right, fourthly, prayer, pondering His Word, present in church, and proving your faith. Proving your faith in service. Now, somebody's going to have to put a roof on a church, sounds like. I didn't know anything about it. I heard this morning. Somebody's going to have to probably come and pound nails and put a roof on a church. Somebody's going to have to come and vacuum the carpet afterwards. Somebody's going to have to come and make sure the parking lot's clean. Somebody's going to have to come and make sure the air conditioning, praise the Lord for air conditioning, keeps working. Somebody's going to have to come and make sure the sound system is doing what it's supposed to do. All those things are service. Somebody's going to have to come and knock on doors and invite people to church. Somebody's going to have to come and be here, making preparation financially to be able to put some finances in the plates, because this church moves forward as you give, and you know that. But proving your faith through service. Well, preacher, you don't know. I can't witness, and I can't go out and knock on doors, and I can't climb on a roof anymore, and I can't do this. We're talking in Sunday school this morning. If you're here, you're serving God. You're serving God through an example to other people, because you've put first things first. You've put your clothes on. You've come to church this morning because it's important to do. I live in the South, and I'm glad I live in the South. I love the South. But one thing about the South is a lot of folks just do churchy stuff. And you know what you do on Sunday morning? You go to church, and you put on churchy clothes, and you get your churchy Bible and take it with you. And you come and you sing churchy songs, and you hear a churchy sermon, and you go home and you eat after church dinner. And then you forget about church again until next Sunday morning. Folks, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about coming to church and being at church and serving God together with God's people. Now, service, and I'll wrap this up quickly. Service matters. We give in service. We give financially. We give of our time. We give of our talents. We give in service. We work in church. There's lots of things that need to be done around here. We had a great time Friday night, and I appreciate all those who had a part in that dinner. But, you know, there was a lot of work that went into that dinner. Somebody had to stand beside, a couple of somebody's had to stand behind, beside smoky hot grills and burn hamburgers. The pastor's not here, but, and hot dogs. And that was work. And somebody had to put out all the food, and somebody had to prepare all the food, and somebody had to put it away and clean it away, and somebody had to put out all the games that were played. That was work, so that we could have a good time of fellowship. So we worked together as a church. And then I want to say it this way. I want to be careful, and please notice how I say this. We want to we live our lives being a witness for the Lord Jesus. So many times, and this is nothing wrong with this, we'll hear from the church, be a witness. Witness to other people. Tell them about the Lord Jesus. Give them a track. And at least seek opportunities to talk about the Lord Jesus. And we should. That's part of being of our service to the Lord. But I'll put it this way, being a witness. Do you realize that when you go to work, and you're there when you're supposed to be, you work hard like you're supposed to, you give your boss a good day's work for what you do, for the pay he pays you, that's a witness. A lot of people who don't know Christ, and I've seen them, and I'm sure you have too, they kind of show up, they slide by with as little as they can get done, collect their check, and they're out. And people look at you and say, why are you so industrious? Because the Bible says that whatsoever your hands do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Everything I do reflects on the Lord Jesus. The way we live our life, the way we take care of our homes, the way we meet other people, the way we take care of our families is a witness. Being an example of the believer is what I'm talking about in everything that we do. So, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You stand on the shoulders of generations of those that have come before you who sought first the kingdom of God. Are you going to drop the ball? Are you going to deviate from that? Or are you going to seek first the kingdom of God? Are you going to put Him first in your life, in your prayer life, and in your position that His Word has in your life, and in the way you attend church, and in the way you present yourself to the world as a witness with the Lord Jesus? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? I ask you the question again. If you sought first the kingdom of God with the same sincerity and intensity and devotion that you seek after earthly things, your necessities, food, clothing, shelter, what would the kingdom of God in your life be like? What would it be like? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, putting first things first. And then the last part of the verse we can claim, and all these things shall be added unto you.
If you would like to join us for our Sunday services, we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. for all ages, morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. You can also join us on Wednesday evenings for prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. We hope that you enjoyed the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton today.